really a book of songs. And, you know, how to treat them as we go through, study and look at them and preach them. We look at them as a songbook. We got to get the melody of the song in order to really capture the meaning. You know, they're different than teaching epistles or the Gospels. It's a songbook, a hymnal for the Jews. We're going to look at a portion this morning, beginning with Psalm 3. And really the Psalms can be treated or looked at or taught or expounded in three different ways. One is literally, as in chapter 3, David flees from Absalom, setting the scene, the backdrop of how he wrote it. He was on the run from his brother. His brother, you know, forming a coup and rebellion, trying to take over his kingdom. Literally, and or prophetically, we can look how they fit, and they do fit. Many are in agreement. Gabaline and Ironside and Unger. Look at this portion of Psalms we're going to look at today, 3 through 8, as really so fitting in a prophetic way, and we'll look at it. We're going to touch on it. And then how they apply to us on a day-to-day basis. Of course, the Word of God is living and active and powerful, speaking to us as the Lord, through the Psalms, speaks to us. But in chapter 3, Psalm 3, you see David setting the background, fleeing from Absalom. And, you know, if you looked at it prophetically, it really speaks of this portion of Scripture fittingly. You know, during the Great Tribulation period, you know, the Jewish remnant, the tribulation saints are here on earth going through a severe trial. And can reference, looking back at these Psalms, are going to bring so much comfort to them. But we see how they fit prophetically. Literally, prophetically. We see David, and for us, how they apply is, you know, for the trials that all these really Psalms are about, going through a trial period. But how they, the trials of life, and how to face them, deal with them. We see David in chapter 3, or Psalm 3. He's in a predicament. He's on the run from Absalom. And it's interesting, you know, we often face situations that are unpleasant or distressful, how it would apply to us and how we can, you know, look at it. But David's, facing his own son turning against him. Very distressful time. Many of his faithful men and his leadership turning from him, the Bible tells us, and Samuel. But we see that if you look at verse 2, chapter 3, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. He's, dealing with the literal attack and assault of his son and the coup and the rebellion of his kingdom. But also, you know, we have to face assaults, attacks, attacking our faith, you know, deceiving assaults, just like this one, which many here say of me, there is no help. You can't find help in God. The assault that we're helpless and God can't help. David, you know, not only deals with this lie, he tackles it. Part of our faith is dealing with, you know, the confrontation of lies. And how to deal with them is to, you know, squarely tackle them. We're not playing two-handed touch with the enemy. We're in a wrestling match. And we're to, you know, squarely tackle the lies and deal with them. Put them behind us. As David does. There's no help for me. There's no help. God hasn't given me any help. You know, as he's on the run from Absalom, his son. You know, the Bible tells us that the world, the flesh, and the devil attack us, assault us, sources of opposition. So, wrestling with lies, questioning our own faith, challenge, being challenged by others about our faith, wrestling and tackling lies, people that disregard God and His Word. We see how David, you know, deals with it. We're going to just mention, you know, through the Psalms, many of you are aware, familiar with the phrase, Selah. You see a portion of the scripture and then you'll see that word, Selah. We're not going to really get into it, but really what it means, it's, you know, a song, again, praises, songs, like a hymnal. And could mean like the end of a stanza. Most believe that it's like you pause and think about what, you know, that last chorus or verse or portion, paragraph spoke about. But we're not going to pause on them, but just to mention it. We see how David deals with his predicament with his son, his trial, severe trial. He deals with it by faith. In verse 3, you know, many are those that come against me. They accuse me, assault me in my faith. But you, O Lord, he turns to the Lord with the attack, with the assault. And exercising his faith, he states, you know, you're a shield for me, Lord. You're my glory, and you're the one who lifts up my head. You protect me, Lord. You're the shield around me. You're the one who exalts me. You lift my head when I get bummed out or in distress. You're the one that lifts my emotions by your touch. He turns to the Lord. He takes it to the Lord. The Lord's my shield, my glory, the lifter of my head. Really, the answer, there's no help in God. You, O Lord, you're my answer. You're my lifter of my head. You're my shield. You're my protector. You're my glory. He, in chapter 3, you know, deals with the lie in the situation, taking it to the Lord by faith. Trust the Lord. Look at verse 5. He says, I lay down and slept. That's cool. He's on the run. His brother's against him. You know, he's getting them commotions or attacks or assaults. You're in a battle. You're wrestling with lies. You're under attack. You're wrestling, struggling with lies. But David really turns to the Lord, takes it to the Lord, and then he lays down and goes to sleep. It's like trusting the Lord is an exercise of faith. And entering his rest is the ability to just lay it before the Lord, give it to the Lord, and go to sleep. He gives his beloved sleep, the Bible tells us. In Proverbs, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yet you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. He trusts the Lord. He rests the Lord. He enters the rest of the Lord. And he goes to sleep. Now, in Psalm 4, this is considered an evening prayer. We see, you know, he's at the end of the day, David. He's on his bed, the Bible says. He's meditating on his bed. Getting ready for bed. Kind of like how to get ready for bed. You're laying on your bed. And what a good practice the psalm gives us. He reflects over the day. Kind of counts. He goes back, recollects over the day. Kind of takes tally how it went. How he did. Where he's at with the Lord. He's on his bed, meditating, reflecting over the day. In verse 4 it says, meditating within your heart. As he's at the end of the day, he's praying, he's reflecting back. The first thing that's necessary for us is in verse 5, the Bible tells us, offer the sacrifices of righteousness, put your trust in the Lord, make things right. You know, be angry, do not sin. The Bible tells us, don't go to bed with wrath. If there's a conflict during the day, if there's something pricking your conscience, you know, if you're wrestling, you're in sin. You know, as we meditate, as we finish the day, bring the day to a close, reflect back, we're to make things right. We're to confess our sin before we go to sleep. You know, the Bible tells us we're to sleep in the Lord. As David went to sleep, we're to make things right before we go to sleep. Really, getting ready for bed is making things right before we go to bed. The Bible tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I go to bed in sin, in a state of sin. And, you know, I can pray, I can mouth my prayer, but the Lord doesn't hear. The Bible says we don't connect. We have to deal with our sin. We have to confess our sin. Making things right before we go to bed. He again tackles lies, laying there on the bed, you know, reflecting over his day, meditating within his heart. Look in verse 6. Who will show us any good, that attack? You know, I mean, how does God do me any good? You know, wrestling, tackling lies. Then he answers it with faith, and again, turning to God. And the end of verse 6, he said, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Lord, you have put gladness in my heart. More than in the season their grain and wine increased. More than in time of bumper crop. In verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. As he reflects over, makes things right, wrestles with lies and attacks, dealing with the lies. He said, Lord, is there any good in God? Does he do me any good, Lord? You know, this is what we get to do, the privilege of our relationship with the Lord, is we can call on him and ask him, Lord, turn the lights on. Of course he does good. He's the one that turns the lights on. The Bible says that, you know, in him was life, and the life was the light of man, Jesus. In him, he brings light to our life inside. Turn the lights on, Lord. You're the light of my countenance. You put gladness in my heart. I love that verse. You know, so he's the one that brings gladness and puts it in my heart. You know, we all want to be happy, right? We all want to enjoy life. But it's the Lord that brings a state of enjoyment to our life that's beyond that of material blessing. Even increases. You know, it's beyond when the bucks are rolling in and the income's there, prosperity. Only God can bring that level or state of enjoyment. Lord, you put gladness in my heart. He talks it over with the Lord before he goes to bed. He's tackling the lies. He gets a good night's sleep. I lay down in safety and security. It's kind of interesting. You know, it's like as we reflect back, you know, it's really putting things right. We overcome evil lies with God. And as we get ready for bed, you know, my father's second wife used to say, or third wife, I forgot. She used to say, you know, good night, don't let the bed bugs bite. You know, getting ready for bed, like that's comforting. But really, going and getting ready for bed is like, get right, sleep tight, get right with God, man. Then you're going to have a good night's sound sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. Restful sleep. Oh, sweet sleep. Sleep is, man, I've been sleeping so well lately. I sleep through the alarm. I mean, 20 minutes. I'm really sleeping heavy lately. He'll give his beloved sleep. And David lays down and sleeps. He reflects over his day. He makes things right. How God shows us good. He reflects over God, turning the lights on, the gladness he puts in our heart, gets a good night's sleep. You know, it's we can lay down and go to sleep, conscience-free, when we put things right. But not until. You know, you don't put things right, you have a nagging prayer. You can try to ignore it in your conscience, but you got to deal with it. In order to have a really sound, good sleep, you got to deal with it. So getting ready for bed. David goes over this evening prayer. The next psalm, Psalm 5, is really a morning prayer. Starting the day off right. This is the way to get going in the morning. Yeah, the psalm we read this morning for the scripture reading, you know, waking up. David, Lord, give ear to my word, O Lord, consider my meditation. It's more than a casual prayer. He's really seeking to connect with God. Really connect with God. In the morning, first things, let's start the day off right. Pastor Chuck says, you know, I've heard him say, yeah, he's laying in bed when he wakes up. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? This is your day. Before his feet hit the ground as he rolls off the bed, he's making things right. Lord, you know, trying to connect with him. You know, there are those that say, you know, do your devotions in the morning. And there's them disciplinary type people. No Bible, no breakfast. That's not my style, man. I can hardly wake up sometimes. You know, and when I wake up, I'm groggy in this, you know, it's not like I can connect with the Lord in my groggy state. First thing I do is turn to the coffee. I go and I make a pot of coffee. But, you know, they say a good thing to do if you don't do devotions or you struggle with devotions is to connect them with a routine. You know, have coffee with the Lord. As you're waking up and getting out of the groggy state and getting into an alerted state, as you're really going through the process of waking up, you wake up with Lord. Hey, Lord. Good morning. As David seeks first thing in the morning, make things right, he seeks to really connect. Angelina, you know, sometimes I'll play with her and I'll be holding her. I say, Angelina, let's pretend like we're going to sleep. And close her eyes. And she'll get right in my ear. Wake up! Wake up! And, you know, for a while there, she's like piercing my ears. But we're to wake up. And wake up with him. Start the morning off right. As David, you know, seeking to connect with him in his morning prayer. It's interesting. This is a psalm that is a song that's supposed to be accompanied with flutes, kind of an instrumental combination. But notice as he's connecting with the Lord in his prayer, in verse 4 through 6, he recounts God's holiness. As I wake up and I'm alerted and awake to the truth of God, he takes no pleasure in wickedness. He's not entertaining sin. He doesn't like sin. Wait a minute. This is a sobering wake-up call, who God is. God's holy. And if I seek to connect with God, I must enter his holiness. The Bible says, you know, be ye holy, for I am holy, God speaking. The Bible really calls us to himself. The Lord calls him to himself, but, you know, in a state to participate in his holiness. That's how you connect with him, not only in prayer, but in a state. Or to join him, not taking pleasure in wickedness. He starts the morning off right, joining or seeks to was a given to participate in his holiness, to connect with him, for God is holy. He contrasts at the end of this psalm. He contrasts the wicked, rebellious in verse 11 and 12. Notice. You know, but let all those who rejoice who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. You start opening your eyes and facing the day and the reality of the world we live in. And we live in a corrupt world that's defiled. We can't trust anybody. Our neighbors, the way things are going, it's escalating. And, you know, he's counting the wicked. God's not holy. He doesn't partake in wickedness, but the wicked do. They flatter with their lips. They surround us. Then he, at the end of the psalm, starting his day off right, prayer in the morning, says, Lord, put me in a bubble with you. Protect me with a shield, Lord, that I might live in your joy. I'm in the world. It's corrupt. Peter talks about being harmless, blameless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, put me in a bubble, Lord. You know, not a, you know, soap bubble, a shield, your armor-plated protection, hedge. As he gets ready to start the day, he puts gladness in our hearts, the Bible says. C.S. Lewis quotes, "When I met Christ, I was surprised by joy." Put me in the bubble of joy. You put gladness in my heart. Lord, I'm getting ready for the day. Separate me from this wicked, defiled, corrupt world. Protect me, Lord, with your shield. May I commune with you, connect with you, live with you. Joy is an outgrowth and an offshoot of communion with Christ. You know, it's kind of like an umbrella. We live in this world. We're in the world, but not of it. And, you know, he calls out for a shield, you know, protection, a hedge. Like an umbrella protects us from the elements of the rain. We're to come under his umbrella. Lord, put a hedge about me. Protect me. As he gets ready in the morning, the prayer in the morning, in Psalm 6, interesting, he begins Psalm 6 with this, "Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure." That's how this fits. You know, from chapter 3 to chapter 7, it fits for the time period for the tribulation saints during the Great Tribulation. And, you know, those during that period, God's pouring out his wrath. He's angry. He's angry at sin. He's punishing the world. Yet there's a remnant, the Bible tells us, that look to him, accept him as their Messiah, that he's going to save through the tribulation period. Now look how this fits. Lord, I know you're angry, you know, but don't chasten me in your displeasure. Don't be angry at me, Lord. I'm with you. I choose you. Yeah, the Jewish remnant, literally, David, in a personal situation, prophetic, it fits to the remnant of Jewish tribulation saints. But how does it apply to us? Going through a trial, look in verse 2, chapter 6, 2 and 3. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? You know, touch me, Lord." You know, it can apply to going through us having cancer. "My bones are hurting, Lord, I'm aching. Touch me, Lord, let me relieve me from pain and suffering." Emotional trial. And you're under attack, you're just, "Lord, deliver me, help me, touch me, free me, separate me." A spiritual attack, a spiritual trial. How it applies to us, comfort from the Psalms. In verse 4, he cries out for God's touch, healing touch, deliverance. "Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake." And then at the end of the psalm, in verse 9, he takes on a different tone. Again, as God answers his prayer, "The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." As things are escalating in the trial, he connects with the Lord. Finds comfort, receives a touch, a healing touch. Psalm 7, he continues. Really, there's continuity. Under persecution. The Bible tells us that David's under the persecution or under attack by Cush. We don't know who Cush is, but he gave David a hard time. But it fits, again, as things escalate towards the end of the Great Tribulation period, so does the persecution by the Antichrist for the Jewish remnant, the Tribulation Saints, as they look. Can you imagine being here during that period? I hope you can't. for the Bible tells us that the church will be raptured out of here for the faithful, for those who are connected to the Lord. But for those who are left and remain to look at this psalm, under persecution of the Antichrist, finding comfort, it applies. Look in verse 3, chapter 7. Notice the first thing David does, he checks his heart. You know, am I in sin? It's a good thing to do when you're going through a trial. You know, double check your heart. Did I do something wrong, Lord? Are you punishing me because of my sin? You know, and he does. He does a heart check, a double check. And it's a good practice, you know, to make sure the trial isn't for correction. Am I right, Lord? David, in David's case, he calls for judgment. Look in verse 6, chapter 7. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me, the judgment you have commanded. You know, David, these are called imprecatory. I think that's how you pronounce it. Psalms. Imprecatory psalms. Because David, over and over, we read in the Psalms where he says, Lord, judge them. Get them, Lord. Earlier he says, hit them in the mouth, break their teeth. Yeah, look at verse 10, chapter 5. Yeah. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out of the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. Sick them, Lord. Hurt them, Lord. He's got this like vengeful type judgment. He's invoking, you know. Deal with them tough, Lord. Now, it's not like the spirit of Jesus as we would see in the New Testament. But it's David, a man after God's own heart, that invokes this kind of curse in imprecatory psalms. People have problems with the psalms because of this. You read, well, I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense. But notice how it would fit for the end time. Now here's the tribulation saints. And they're literally, God is pouring out his judgment on the earth. The Bible tells us that God's going to judge the world when it becomes ripe for judgment. It's ripened. They're experiencing it. They're in the midst of it. Lord, protect me while I'm here. But judge them, Lord. Now it fits. It fits rightly. For us, though, it has a different, you know, it doesn't make sense. For us, we're to call for mercy. You know, remember when James and John went through Samaria, and Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? Burn them up, Lord? Jesus said, no, you do not know what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. We're to call out for mercy. Mercy on them, Lord. Save them. Help them. Deliver them. Different spirit. A different time period. But David calls out for judgment and invokes a curse. Chapter 8, the last psalm we read this morning. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Glorious majesty recognition. Oh, Lord, you're enthroned. And in chapter 8, look at verse 2. In the beginning of verse 2, out of the mouth of babes you have ordained strength. The Bible tells us when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, triumphant entry, he came in, they laid down the branches, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, recognizing him as the Messiah, calling out, worshiping him as the Messiah. But later on, the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, you know, how dare you receive praise from them, acknowledging you as the Messiah? Jesus said, you know, out of the mouth of babes comes forth perfect praise. Quoting the psalm, proving that it speaks prophetically of him. In Hebrews, they also quote this psalm, and they quote him, look down at verse 5, chapter 8. You have made him a little lower than the angel. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Paul says he must reign until God puts all things under his feet. Corinthians. Well, here, this speaks of a time when all things are put under his feet. He's crowned. So it would really fit, you know, eschatologically, when he comes back and he's enthroned. He's enthroned. All things are put under his feet. He's now recognized. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's no longer a proclamation of faith. He's here. He's enthroned. Recognized in his majesty. Yeah, in Hebrews, it quotes this, speaking of his humanity. He crowned him with glory, and now he put all things under his feet, speaking of Jesus plainly, clearly. O Lord, finishing the psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You know, this portion of Psalms do fit together as they speak of trial and persecution, as they escalate, and really dealing with, you know, morning, waking up, getting ready for the day, you know, preparing, getting ready for bed, you know, making things right before you go to sleep. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to pray that prayer, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. I think that's why I'm saved today. Give it to the Lord. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Overnight, Lord, take me. Placing yourself in his hands, preparing yourself, making yourself right, getting yourself right before you go to bed. Making yourself right when you wake up in the morning. David said, make your path straight before me. In the psalm we read this here in his morning prayer. You know, you're holy, Lord. I'm to connect with your holiness. Make it straight for me, Lord. I can't rely on my directional, you know, abilities. I need you. Direct me, Lord. Getting ready, waking up, starting the day off right. As we go through trials, we're to make sure we're right and to stay right. Through the persecuted tribulations, through our trials, you get sick, you have a problem. Really, it all speaks of maintaining faith, having faith, exercising faith. And then it culminates with Jesus Christ being enthroned. See, it's the objective. It's the end. It's going to happen. He's coming. And he's coming to reign, to sit as king. The Bible talks about the kingdom age in the Bible. Jesus Christ reigning, sitting enthroned from Jerusalem. But meanwhile, he's to be enthroned in our heart. We're to wake up right, walk right, go to bed right, stay right. Lord, help us. Let's stand. Lord, help us, you know, get the melody of these psalms that we can... See, they're psalms, and we're to sing them, you know, and they're intended as poetry. They're in the poetry section of the Bible. But they're dealing with issues, you know, and Lord, help us understand, get the beat, and sing them with him. Let's pray. Lord, we look to you, and we thank you, Lord. We ask that you would work by your Spirit in our hearts, Lord, that when we go to bed or laying on the bed, we reflect over the day. We make an account for the day, Lord, and make things right before you. Get things right. Offer a sacrifice of righteousness that we can place our trust in you and go to sleep soundly. And Lord, as we wake up in the morning, hand over the day to you, belongs to you, to connect with you in truth and holiness. Separate us from sin, Lord. Set us apart unto yourself. Sanctify us, Lord. For you are our sanctification, Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would make things right even this morning. If there's anything not right within us, any sin, that you would check it, Lord, that you would cause us, by your Spirit, you would check our conscience, double check, triple check, Lord, until we submit to you and make things right before you, that we might continue this day in you, Lord, to live in you, to walk with you. Lord, we thank you for your word. And as with David, may you plant your word in our hearts that we may not sin against you. Have your way, Lord, over us, in us, through us, for your glory, that you, Lord, might be enthroned How majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh, excellent are you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We find David doing not only the imprecate, I think that's how you pronounce it, as he invokes the judgment and the curses on others, the evil, wicked. Let them fall into the pit they dug. Let it come back upon them. Punch him in the face, Lord. But he also invokes blessings. Oh, but those who live with you, Lord, bless them. Keep your hand upon them. You know, let that umbrella cover us. You know, you're so concerned about the kids, man, the grandchildren, this world, the way it's getting. But Lord, put a hedge about us. Put us in a force field bubble. Protect us, Lord. We commit ourselves to Him. He'll take care of us. So may the Lord bless you and cover you with His Spirit. Open up. Turn the lights on. He's our countenance. To the things that we do that may displease Him, if we're not doing something that's right, Lord, cause us to get right with You. That we take action by Your Spirit to make things right. According to Your Spirit, according to Your love, according to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.